amen. Praise the Lord for the special music here this morning. What a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 11 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 20. And if you would, stand with me as we read the Word of God. We'll read it together if you're able to stand. As I read, you follow right along with me. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available to all that are here, that have taken advantage of it, and are just looking to you. And I just pray, God, this morning that you would meet with us, that you would speak to us. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, Hezekiah, king of Judah, was a good king. And he had been doing that which was right in the sight of God. After leading Judah back to God and looking to God to be able to defeat Sennacherib, king of Assyria, we find that Hezekiah is now diagnosed with an illness and told to set his house in order, or thou shalt die. Hezekiah had no peace about this. Therefore, he turns to God and cries out to God. God answers his prayer and gives a promise of 15 more years of life and gives a sign for Hezekiah to have peace of mind. What a great story. What a great passage of scripture to read. And understanding is more than history. It is true, accurate history. It's more than just literature. It's what God has written down and preserved for us to learn from. And there's much we can learn from this particular event in the life of Hezekiah. Today is the last Sunday of 2019. What will 2020 bring? That just seems like it's too far out there. 2020. That just, yeah. But it's upon us. If the rapture doesn't take place, we will face many events in 2020. The question is, are we prepared for it? If you'd asked me if I was prepared for 2019 a year ago, I would have said yes, I think. If you'd have told me what I would have to face in 2019, I would have definitely said, no, I'm not ready for that. Yeah. We don't know what 2020 is going to bring. But I believe we can be prepared for it. And I think that we can learn much from this experience of Hezekiah because it's been preserved for us to learn from it. And so as we look here to Hezekiah, we find Hezekiah had been doing a lot of good things. Praise the Lord for that. But he finds himself sick. And Isaiah, the prophet, comes to him and tells him that he's going to die and not live. Some believe that he possibly could have gotten the virus or the sickness that killed the Assyrian army. God brought a plague down upon the Assyrian army right before this. Matter of fact, in chapter 19 in verse 35, the Bible says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 soldiers that was getting ready to destroy and Judah. And God sends an angel who takes care of this opposing army, this threat to God's children, Judah. And overnight, 185,000 men died. Now we find right after that, chapter 20, our text that we've just read, and many believe that he possibly had the very same, whatever it was, the virus that would have taken his life. And he's sick and on his deathbed, and the preacher comes and says, well, you're going to die. If nature would have run its course, he would have. As we look ahead to 2020, we look at this, and can I tell you that nature and our decisions in this life will determine most of what we'll face. Nature is things that we have no control over, things that are just born of the flesh. It's just going to happen. Some of us, like this last year, I mean, no, there's no doubt I had a heart disease without knowing it. I understand that it was, they tell me it was all related to genetics. There's nothing I could have done to prevent it. It was going to come upon me. It was just genetics. It was nature just natural things born out of genetics. All of us will face some natural trials this year, just out of age, out of nature, running its course. Whatever you might, whatever kind of genes, whatever kind of history, family history you might have, there's other things, there's things that just are going to happen because of natural things. And then decisions we make and decisions other people make will affect our lives. There's certain things that you cannot control, and that's what other people do. You can't control what decisions other people make and how it will affect your life. And then decisions you make and we make individually, it is something we can control, but mainly the decisions we make will have consequences. And so most of what we will face in this next year was the same as what we faced last year. It will be determined by nature and that which God has already established and our decisions in life. There also will be some things that have been predetermined by God. Some things that have been predetermined by God. Look with, if you will, John chapter 9. In the book of John in chapter 9, the Lord was preparing his disciples. He was teaching them, and all about those 3.5 years was preparing them to carry on what Jesus would establish in the New Testament church. And we find here in John in chapter 9, he's with his disciples, and they come upon a man born blind. The Bible says in John chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin? In their minds, anybody that would have something like this happen to them, they would be born this way or whatever, had to be a result of sin. And that's not always the case. For his parents, that he was born blind. Who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Predetermined. It's predetermined that he would be born blind because God would have a purpose for his blindness. God would have a purpose for that particular time when his path would cross the path with the Savior, Jesus Christ, and Jesus would be able to teach this lesson and he would be able to heal this man who was born blind. That was predetermined. Some might argue what has been predetermined. Is my salvation predetermined? And when you study the Bible, you realize that is not true. God has given us a free will. And eternity will be based upon the decisions you make, not what God has predetermined. He has predetermined that if anyone's going to be saved, you're going to get saved by his plan, by what God has already established from the foundation of the world. Other things that are predetermined, can I tell you, as we face them, we have to just let God be God. Matter of fact, I think that's exactly what the Bible teaches us. Look in the book of Romans in chapter 9. Some things we think might be predetermined and unfair. That's not our call. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 9 and verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God is never unrighteous. God is always righteous. God is always good. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Sometimes we see people going through so much and we think, boy, why? It almost seemed like, well, that's unfair for that person to have to endure so much when someone else over here in our sight, far less righteous, far less godly, gets by with everything, with seemingly no consequences. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault, and who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are we to tell God to have mercy on this person and not have mercy on that person? Who are we to tell God to have pity? And who are we to tell God to have compassion? And who are we to tell God to allow this and not allow that? Who are we to tell God anything? When we face whatever it might be in our lifetime, well, gotta let God be God. Some things are predetermined. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Verse 21. Clay's not to tell the potter. The potter molds the clay. He has the vision for the clay. He wouldn't have his hands on the clay if he didn't have a purpose for it. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What I'm saying is, let God be God, but have faith in God. Hezekiah needed to let God be God, but have faith in God. Even when Isaiah comes and tells him, get your house in order, you're dying. You will not live, and walks away. He had to face that. Some of us will face that this next year. There's a lot worse things for the Christian than to face death. I found that out, praise the Lord. There's no fear there at all. I would fear more of losing a wife. I would fear more of losing a child. I would fear more of many, many other things. But can I tell you, the Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear. So whether it's natural, whether it's decisions, or whether it's predetermined, let God be God, and have faith in God. Go back to our text here, because that's what Hezekiah is faced with. He's told, you're going to die. You're sick. You're going to die. You will not live. But the next thing we find here, Hezekiah is 39 years old. Now, at 39, I wouldn't have been ready to die. I don't think I'd have had any peace at all. Double that, and I'm getting closer, you know. It's an expectation at some point. It's appointed that a man wants to die. Amen. I just want to make sure that I am prepared to die. And if I'm prepared to die, knowing what I know, then praise God what I can glory in what I have to look forward to. Hezekiah is 39 years old here. He had no peace of dying. No matter what the preacher said. And so he bypasses the preacher. Matter of fact, he bypasses everything else except for God. He would not just roll over and die. I love that. Verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, he would not just roll over and die. Neither would Job. Neither would Job. I love that. Job in chapter 2. Job in chapter 2. Let me just read that to you. You can go back and read it later. You probably already know it. Once I start reading it, you'll remember it. In Job in chapter 2, after everything that had happened to Job, he was faced with everything. I don't think that there could have been any other news that Job would have to face. It was all bad. Everything about it, lost all of his children. Everything was going wrong. He lost all of his wealth. Now he's lost his health. He is suffering. You would think that he would want to go ahead and die. Matter of fact, one of the last strokes, if you will, that I think that hit Job as hard as it would have hit him, his wife. The Bible says in chapter 2 of Job and verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, the dying part is not what you focus on here, because what was worse than that is for him to curse God. Because he's not letting God be God if he curses him. You're not letting God be God if you doubt him, if you curse him, if you get angry with him, if you rebel against him. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips? What I'm saying, whatever you're faced with, don't just roll over and accept it. Just don't roll over. Even when the preacher tells you, or the doctor comes out and says you're going to die, if you do not have peace about whatever that may be, do not just give in to it, because you don't have to. Because of who God is. Hezekiah, because he had no peace, would not give up on something you've not been given peace for. God hadn't answered a prayer yet. He hadn't prayed yet. So he humbly looked to God in prayer. Now, I want you to see how he did this. God's messenger, his prophet Isaiah, has already told him. But he didn't have peace about Isaiah's words. He hadn't heard from God himself. He turned his face to the wall and prayed. What does that mean? He's already sick. He's on his deathbed. He can't get out of bed. He can't go to the temple. He put everything out of his mind, and as he turned his face to the wall, I believe it was a wall that was facing the temple, because that's who he wanted to get a hold of. Didn't want to hear what Isaiah had to say anymore, didn't want to hear what his wife had to say, didn't want to hear what his children had to say, he didn't want to hear what anybody around him had to say, because the one that made the most difference was the one he turned to. The one who could deliver him from death was the one that he turned to. The one that could present a miracle is the one that he turned to. By turning his face to the wall, is saying he blocked everything else out. He got into his prayer closet. He shut everything else, every other thought, every other voice, all the other appearances, and he just focused on God. What a blessed thing to do. What a great thing that God allows us to come into the holiest of holies. Through Jesus Christ, at any point in time, we can come into the very presence of a creator God. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You don't need an Isaiah. You don't need anything. You just need Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have an advocate with the Father, and you can come into His presence no matter what you're facing. He did all he could do on his deathbed. He turned his face to the wall, blocked out everything else. And then the Bible says in his prayer, he started out by saying, I beseech thee. That's a term given for somewhat begging. That's a term that allows us to see that he humbled himself. He did not make any demands. He humbled himself before the God of creation and asking a prayer. James chapter 4, let me just read it to you. You can write these verses down, go back and read them, study them. But James in chapter 4, we find here in James in chapter 4, in verse 3, he said, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes we're not asking for the right things. But then he says in verse 6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If you have any chance for answered prayer, you better first of all believe what you're asking for could be God's will for your life. And then you had better humble yourself as you ought to humble yourself when you understand who God is. That's what Hezekiah was doing. And then the last thing he did, he made his case. For why he believed that God should answer this prayer. And he said, verse 3, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. A case that agreed with Scripture. See, when you're just focused on God, is you're acknowledging who He is, and His thoughts and His ways are so much higher than our ways, and I've got to let God be God. But God, I don't have the peace about this, and so I'm asking you to answer a prayer. And I have peace about asking you. I have peace about humbling myself before you. And this is the reason for my request. I want to continue to serve you. I want to continue to live righteously. I want to continue a life that is pleasing unto thee. He's making his case before God. Now, it is according to Scripture. When you pray, make sure that your prayer is according to Scripture. The book of Proverbs in chapter 3, let me just read this to you. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, again, is another passage of Scripture I'm sure that you know well once I start reading it, but write it down, go back and read the whole thing if you'd like. But in Proverbs in chapter 3, first of all, verses 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. God wants us to keep his commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they, what are they, keeping his commandments, add to thee. Yeah. For length of days. He had a good case to present to God. Have I not kept the commandments? Have I not done righteous? Have I not served thee? And according to what you say, according to your promise, it'll add to me length of days and a long life. Wow. Not that it's making a demand that God has to do this, but it is within the realm of Scripture to ask such a prayer as this. Matter of fact, if you go on over to Proverbs in chapter 9, in Proverbs in chapter 9, verse 10, 11, let me read that to you. Verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased." I believe Hezekiah knew this as part of the blessings of God. Can I tell you that prayer is a part of Christianity? Prayer is a large part of Christianity. And it will be needed. In 2012, can I tell you, your prayer life will be important. Your power with God through a prayer life will be important. Having acts of righteousness to present your case more than likely will come into play. Having acts of righteousness. And then because as you have acts of righteousness, you can claim the promises of righteousness. Amen. It'll come into play. It came into play last year, didn't it? It'll come into play next year. God heard Hezekiah's prayer, and he saw his tears. Now, go back with me. Amen. Follow me. I'm not going to be much longer here, but this is good stuff. This will help you. It really will. It's good information. It's good practical biblical truths and applying them to our lives. So now this is Hezekiah has done his part. At the end, he weeps sorely. It came to pass. Before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer." Because it was a righteous prayer. He doesn't hear all prayers. He hears the prayer of the righteous. But not only that, he says, "I have seen thy tears. Because of these two things, I will heal thee." It reveals what God wanted from Hezekiah if he, Hezekiah, wanted God to act. And I believe it's the same thing God requires of us if we want God's answer to prayer. If we want God to act on our behalf. He had righteous acts to present. But I think more than anything else, he had tears, which revealed his heart, his attitude, his expectations, his humility, his heart. Tears are connected to what's going on inside of us. The Bible talks about in Psalms 56, we'll not take the time to go there, Psalms 56 and 8 and 9, about having God bottling up the tears. It means God sees your tears. Because the tears give a passageway to your heart. Psalm 51, I will take you there. In Psalms 51, we find David is crying out to God and wanting God to work in his life once again. And he says this in verse 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." Don't try to buy your way into God's presence. The sacrifices of God, or this is what God's looking for, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite that is of much sorrow, a heart of much sorrow, contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Wow. He heard Hezekiah's prayer, saw his tears, and sent him a message that he would answer. The last thing we find here, God wanted Hezekiah to have peace concerning his future. Look in verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 20. "And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord in 3 days, the third day? Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? The shadow. He's talking about either advancing the time of the sun or taking it in reverse. Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. That is huge right there. Hezekiah would witness a miracle of God. 1 degree would have been about a half an hour. He would witness the sun, the shadow, go back 5 hours. Now, we understand now, more so than even what Hezekiah would have understood, what it would take to do that. We know the earth orbits around the sun, and at the same time it's orbiting around the sun, it rotates, which gives us our hours and our days and our seasons and everything else. Can you imagine what it would take to stop all of that and reverse it? I mean, naturally speaking, it would have thrown everything off. Naturally speaking, this earth would have been a catastrophe. Understanding that, we say that no way could that happen. And you're right, there's no earthly way. There's no natural way that could happen. But can I tell you, we're not dealing with nature. We're not dealing with man. We're dealing with the Creator God. And if it was 12 o'clock when that happened, he turns it back to now it's only 7 o'clock. And he's able to see and experience a miracle like we've never had before like that. With this miracle, he would also hold on to the promise of another 15 years of life. Hallelujah. What great peace that not only would he have then, but what he would have for the next 15 years. In closing this morning, as we face what whatever 2020 might bring. Let's not lose sight of the greatest miracle that God has ever given. The birth of God as a man. The virgin birth of God as a man. It was greater than God turning the time back 5 hours. It's the greatest miracle that mankind has ever experienced. In closing, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That plan has been predetermined. There's no other plan. Whether you receive that or not is the decision that you'll make and that I'll make and have already made. But the plan was predetermined. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, a miracle, that they might have life, a promise, and that they might have it more abundantly. You think it was something for Hezekiah to see the miracle and have the promise of 15 years. Think about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Just so you can believe in him and have faith for the rest of your days. Wow. What a great passage of scripture. If I could have ever head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to face whatever you might have to face in another year's time? We know not what a day may bring. I can't tell you what you're going to have to endure. I can't tell you what you're facing this next year. I can just stand up here and say, I know what you have to do to be ready. God has given us a miracle and a promise that is associated with that miracle. And that will prepare you for whatever you will face. Father, we bow before you. Again, we love you, Lord, and thank you for the word of God, the truth of Scripture, and this example of Hezekiah and how we can apply it to our lives. And I pray right now that every person in this auditorium would be applying it to their lives. If there's anyone here that has not received the gift that Jesus brought to us and offers us freely, I pray that that person would come to this altar during this invitation and freely receive a gift of everlasting life. God, I pray that you'd work in our midst. Blessing this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.